welcome each of you in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful day. It's a great day to be here together before the Lord. Brother Jeff, I know, has prayed and prepared to bring us God's Word today. And so pray for him as he rises before us. And pray for each of yourselves that today would be a day where you'd be inspired, wherever you need to be changed, that the Lord would help you to change by the power of his Word. And that this hour would actually be a moment of inspiration, an hour of worship, an hour of improvement of our lives before the Lord. And so with that, I would give you my brother, Elder Jeff Oldham.
Thank you, Jerry. And good morning, brothers and sisters. It's been several weeks since we've been on here. We've been traveling, and so it is great to be back with each of you. And I appreciate your comments, Jerry. I appreciate the request for prayers. We do need prayers, and I need your prayers. I've had a lot of different thoughts on my mind, and as I prepared for this today, I would say there's a very common theme, I guess, of what's been on my thoughts and what's been on my mind. It's been some thoughts that have probably been on my mind for several weeks. And so I want to spend this time with us, this little bit of time that we have, thinking about faith. And faith is something that I would say that probably as I've gotten older, my faith, I would say, probably has challenged more, or maybe struggles more, and I want to strengthen that faith. I want to continue to call on the Lord, and kind of like in that song, that sweet hour of prayer, is utilize that time in helping me strengthen my faith. I want to start, and I'd ask you to, for those of able, follow along. Turn with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And within Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I'm just going to read a few verses there. I'm going to start at the fourth verse. So Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start at the fourth verse. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So here we see the example of Paul is talking, and he's talking, I guess we'll use the word the ones, right? One body, one Christ, for us, Christ Church, and we are that one body and that unified one body, one spirit. The Holy Spirit, one Lord, our Lord Jesus, one faith, and I guess I look at that one faith and that faith in Christ, right? That faith in Christ that we can call on the Lord, much like we have the opportunity, much like we see those that are as we knelt in a season of prayer, you know, that opportunity that we have to call upon the Lord, to lay our burdens at His feet. And truly having that faith and that ability to believe that the Lord is there for us and is there with us. Continue on in the seventh verse. Says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Our gift, and really, you know, I think we could ask, you know, what is our gift? Or more importantly, and I would challenge each of us to think about what is our role. Right? If we have been given gifts, if we have been given responsibilities, if we have been given something of Christ, what is our responsibility to do with that? Is it our time? Is it our money? Is it our getting down on our knees and praying for others. What is it that we have been given? What are those talents and abilities? And then how do we put them to work for Christ? How do we put them in place? Turn with me to Matthew, the 17th chapter. And I just have one quick verse in Matthew, the 17th chapter. A verse that I love, and I love to read, and I love to remember this verse. Matthew, the 17th chapter, and I'm just going to read the 20th verse. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's a verse that I read a lot, and I love to read that. I use that a lot in that faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed. And I want you to think about that faith as maybe we go through a few stories in the Bible. So I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel. And I'm going to use this kind of as the story and some comments. Last few weeks, I don't know, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Michelle and I went out to California for a thing that I had for work. And as we were traveling, I had a book that I had started reading. Somebody that I work with suggested the book to me. And it's a book by Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, a former coach for, he was a coach for the Buccaneers, and he was a coach for the Colts. And the Colts won the Super Bowl a few years ago. And the title of the book is Quiet Strength. And where I thought I was getting a book, a guy had recommended it to me at work of kind of different styles of leadership and different approaches. And definitely in the book that Tony Dungy writes, it is about different leaderships or his leadership and his style and his approach. But what really impressed me about the book and what kind of really stuck with me was his approach was everything that he did was through Christ. And if you ever have heard anything about his life, a very successful football coach, a very successful person, I guess, in his own personal life, but a person who's had some pretty big challenges. And he talks about, the book actually starts out and talks about where he was fired and the challenges and the personal challenges that he went through. And then later on in the book, it talks about he has a son that died and in a very tough death and something that he struggled with very much. But through all of this, he continued to rely on his faith and he continued to rely on that foundation that he said had started from his parents, started from his grandparents, in that his belief in Christ and that witness that he tried to be to the others around him. And that's what really impressed me about this. And he, in a part of the book, he talks about the story of David and Goliath. And so I want to read the story of David and Goliath, and it's not anything new, definitely. We've all read this. We all understand this. But I want to go through it because there's some comments and some thoughts that I've had as I went back and read the story recently. So 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 38th verse. And I'm going to go fairly quickly through this because I want to lay the story out there. You know the story, but I want to remind us of the story and then just share some of my thoughts. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assuaged to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And so we understand the story, and I don't have to go into a long explanation of what leads up to the story of David and Goliath. But we know that story, and we know that David comes in and is prepared to go fight Goliath, and to prepare him for it, they start to put on Saul's armor, and they start to give him a sword, and they start to give him those tools to prepare him for that battle. You know, already knowing that David, a young man, going up against this Philistine giant, and as they prepare David for that, David said, "No, I cannot." And so he says, "I have not proved them," and David put them off. Continuing on in the 40th verse, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And the Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Write to me that is so powerful in itself, in that 45th verse. Right, here was David. Here was just this young, ruddy man that they talk about in here. This young little guy, and coming against this giant. And he says, But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David had the Lord on his side. David had the Lord behind him. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and fell upon his face up to the earth. Right, so here in this story of David, and here in this story of Goliath, you know, David chose not to wear the king's armor. It felt cumbersome, it felt unfamiliar, but David was comfortable with his simple slingshot, a weapon that he was skilled in at using. And so go back to that first verse that we started off in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Right, that one Christ, that one mind, that one body. Right, that one faith in Christ, and that talent that David had, and that skill that he had been given, that ability that he had been given, that one weapon that he had been skilled at. God will use this unique skill. He's ready to place it in our hands, in that calling and that responsibility that David had. David's faith in God caused him to look at the giant from a different perspective. You know, I can't imagine, you know, walking up to this giant, walking up to this battle in front of him, and David was prepared. Goliath was merely a mortal man, and David looked at this battle from God's point of view. And that is my hope. As we think about our faith, and as we think about the calling and the responsibility that we have, as we think about that trial, that challenge that stands in front of us, what are we going to do? You know, within the last 6 months, we started a new process, or kind of a new project. And within this, working with some specific individuals, we have a project. It's called a whiteboarding session. And it's you have flip charts, or you have whiteboards, and you start to talk through, you know, what's keeping us from being successful, or what keeps us from increasing, or any company, any expectation the company lays out there for you, you're always called upon to do better. You're always called upon to do more. And so we talk about, within these whiteboarding sessions, where we talk about pressures, plans, and problems. Right? What are the pressures that keep us from moving ahead? What are the plans that we have in place to attack those pressures? And then what problems or what barriers are holding us back? And the key to this is, And the responsibility, and a lot of my job is to break down the barriers, right? If I understand what is the challenge in front of us, then I've got to put plans in place to help us attack those, right? So David saw the challenge, he saw the pressure, right? He saw the problem that laid in front of him, and what was his plan, right? In David's case, he may not have had time to set back and, all right, so I want to prepare, so I want to start practicing with my slingshot. And Goliath, you need to wait a couple days, because I need to spend a little bit of time practicing my slingshot to make sure that I've got this set right. Right? Maybe we don't have that time, but we have to call upon the Lord in that one sweet hour of prayer every day that we have is what prepares us. That strengthening of that faith, that strengthening of the calling and the responsibility that we have, we may not have time to think about it. I had an example this last week, and I'm going to be really honest. It still bugs me today. And a couple weeks ago, on vacation, we were in Washington, D.C. in New York City. And I remember as plain as day, we were standing, it was the last night that we were in New York City. And we were down in Times Square, a very busy area, a packed area. We had had dinner, and we were just kind of walking through some of the gift shops and walking through some of the area there in Times Square, and it was packed. It was a Saturday night. It was very busy, packed with people. It was Michelle and the boys and Dick and Diane and Amy. And Michelle and Amy and the boys, Michelle and Amy and Braden were in the shop. And Diane and Trenton and Bick were standing outside this shop, and I was just kind of standing by them, but I was kind of standing in a little different area. And I was just kind of standing a little bit away where I could see Trenton and Diane and Bick, and just kind of looking around and thinking. And out of the blue, I didn't even see the person walk up, but this guy walks up to me, and he stopped me, and he said, I need help. And I looked at him, and as I saw him there, he's pretty close to me, and his face was pretty close to my face. And he was talking very straight. He said, sir, I need help. My family is hungry, and I need money. He said, this money isn't for drugs. This money isn't for alcohol. I need help for my family. And, you know, as you travel around, your natural inclination is to say, no, I don't know what you're going to do with it. And your natural inclination is to say no. And in fact, as we live our lives, we're taught, we're encouraged not to give money like that and just give it out, because you know that that it's probably going for drugs, or it's probably going for alcohol, or it's going for something that isn't right. And as I stood there, I felt the prompting to help the guy, and I didn't. And it bugged me. And I wasn't prepared. And as I listened to that, as I had that feeling in my heart, it bothered me. And the guy walked away, and I didn't give him anything. And I stood there, and it bugged me, and it kept bugging me. And it kept pulling on my heart and pulling on my mind. I had cash in my pocket. I could have handed him money over. And it bugged me to the point where I looked down the street and I could see the guy down the street. He was kind of a tall, big man. And when he was up close to me talking to me, I didn't smell any alcohol. I didn't smell anything. I looked in his eyes, and his eyes were clear. And I know that there's a lot of risk. And I know that most people would say, you don't help him out. But I had that prompting that I didn't act on. And to this day, it still bugs me. And it bugs me because, much like this example of David, and much like this example of David going up against Goliath, right, in our lives, are we prepared? We may not have that time to prepare. And that example for me, so I watched that guy walk down the street, and the crowd was packed. I mean, you were shoulder to shoulder walking through people. And I remember... And I remember walking, and I told Diane and I told Trent, and I said, I'll be right back. And I wanted to go try to catch that guy, and I wanted to try to go help him. And he was gone. I couldn't find him. I had seen him for a little bit, and then in the crowd, I completely lost him. And that lesson for me, and that thing that stood out in my mind, and that thing that has bugged me ever since, is that, are we prepared? Are we prepared for that, whether it's that battle against Goliath, right? Whether it's that prompting or that calling of the Spirit, are we prepared for that? Are we prepared to act, to take action, to take that step, to do that which we have been called to do? David, right? David knew that he didn't have time to prepare the sword, to prepare the shield. He knew that he had to rely on that faith. He had to rely on that skill and that calling that the Lord had given him. And for us in our lives, are we prepared? Right? Do we have that faith and that strengthening that when we feel that prompting of the Spirit, are we taking that step? I feel like I failed. And I pray to the Lord that He will forgive me. And I pray to the Lord that if it was the need or the desire to help that person has helped. And that as I have that prompting or as I have that feeling, that I will take that step as well in my own life. I want to continue on, and I want to go to Ephesians, the second chapter. And I want to read from Ephesians, the second chapter, and I'm going to start at the fourth verse there. I'm going to read 4 through 10. There was one body and one spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. And this just kind of continues on from the verses that I read earlier. I want to go to Ephesians, the second chapter. I apologize. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to start the fourth verse. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And in the eighth verse there, continuing on, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Right, that stands out to me in that remembrance that we have. For by grace you are saved through faith. Right, what is that faith? What is that calling? What is that responsibility that we have and that expectation that God has in us? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Right, we are Christ's workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And really, that to me is that saved by works through that faith and that faith that we have. And to me, that faith and that link and that, are we prepared? Are we practicing our faith? Are we exercising our faith? Do we have that responsibility? And are we utilizing those skills that we have been given and those expectations that we have been challenged? Turn with me to Alma, the 10th chapter. I'm going to go on page 355 of the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start at the 66th verse. And this is another story of faith, right? And this is Alma Amulek in prison. Again, a story that we all know. But one that is good for us to go back and read. And much like the story of David, Alma and Amulek were challenged. Right, they were tasked with a calling, a little different calling, right, than what David faced in going and fighting the Philistine, the big giant, right, by going up against Goliath. But Alma and Amulek were challenged, and they had to rely on that faith. Starting at the 66th verse in the 10th chapter of Alma, and I'm on page 355 in my Book of Mormon. And it came to pass that they departed and went their ways, but came again on the morrow. And the judge also smote them again on their cheeks. And many came forth also and smote them, saying, will ye stand again and judge this people and condemn our law? If ye have such great power, why do you not deliver yourselves? Right, the story that leads up to this, and my encouragement is to go back and to read this chapter. Right, this is a great chapter, and there's a lot in the story that leads up to this. And Alma and Amulek, now at this point, they're in prison. And they're being challenged and they're being tasked by the people. And it says, "And many such things did they say unto them, gnashing their teeth upon them and spitting upon them and saying, How shall we look when we are damned? And many such things, yea, all manner of such things did they say unto them, and thus they did mock them for many days. And they did withhold food from them, that they might hunger, and water, that they might thirst. And they also did take from them their clothes, that they were naked, and thus they were bound with strong cords and confined in prison. And it came to pass, after they had thus suffered for many days, and it was on the 12th day, in the 10th month, in the 10th year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi, that the chief judge over the land of Ammonihah, and many of their teachers and their lawyers went in unto the prison where Alma and Amulek were bound with cords. And their chief judge stood before them and smote them again and said unto them, If ye have the power of God, deliver yourselves from these bands, and then we will believe that the Lord will destroy this people according to your words. And it came to pass that they all went forth and smote them, saying the same words, even until the last." You know, here is Alma and Amulek, and they're being challenged. Right? Their faith is being challenged. There's no doubt of that. The people in this time, even to the point to where the king, the leader of the people here, are standing in front of them saying, you know, if your Lord is so strong, then destroy us. If your Lord is so strong, free you from this. But what did Alma and Amulek do? Did they fight back? Did they argue back with the people? Continue on in the 76th verse. "And when the last had spoken unto them, the power of God was upon Alma and Amulek. And they arose and stood upon their feet, and Alma cried, How long shall we suffer these great afflictions, O Lord?" Right? To me, as I think about that verse, how long shall we suffer these great afflictions, O Lord? O Lord, give us strength according to our faith, which is in Christ, even unto deliverance, that and they break the cords with which they were bound. And when the people saw this, they began to flee for fear of destruction to come upon them. And it came to pass that so great was their fear that they fell to the earth and did not obtain the outer door of the prison. And the earth shook mightily, and the walls of the prison were rent in twain, so that they fell to the earth. And the chief judge and the lawyers and the priests and teachers which smote Alma and Amulek were slain by the fall thereof. And Alma and Amulek came forth out of the prison, and they were not hurt, for the Lord had granted unto them power according to their faith, which was in Christ. And they straightway came forth out of the prison, and they were loosed from their bands. And the prison had fallen to the earth, and every soul which was within the walls thereof, save it were Alma and Amulek, were slain, and they straightway came forth into the city. Now the people, having heard a great noise, came running together by multitudes to know of the cause of it. And when they saw Alma and Amulek coming forth out of the prison, and the walls thereof had fallen to the earth, they were struck with great fear and fled from the presence of Alma and Amulek, even as a goat fleeth with her young from two lions. And thus they did flee from the presence of Alma and Amulek. Right? You know, so again, right, Alma and Amulek maybe didn't have the time, maybe didn't have the preparation to say, you know what, I'm not ready to call on the Lord yet. We have to be prepared. We have to have that faith and that strengthening of that bond and that strengthening with the Lord that we can call on Him and confidently know that we can call on Him. Right? Multiple other stories that we can think of. The story of Daniel in the lion's den. Right? An amazing story. Right? A simple story for us to know and remember, but amazing story that we know. The story of Gideon, right? Gideon, a military spiritual leader who was delivered, who helped deliver Israel from 7 years of oppression by the Midianites, right? The story of where, I always have to reference back but to my notes, but Midianites outnumbered the Israelites 450-1. But what happens in the story? Right? If you want a great story to go back and remember, go to Judges and read the story in Judges. In the 7th chapter, 450-1. But who won that battle? Who won that battle but was Christ? And who won that battle was through Christ. And that calling and that responsibility that Gideon had. and that calling that he answered to. I want to turn to Moroni, the 10th chapter. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I want to go to Mosiah, the 2nd chapter. And bear with me as I turn my books here. Sorry, page 220 in my Book of Mormon. And on, I'm going to start at the 13th verse. And I've used this before, and I can guarantee I'll use this again. But to me, this really sums up best. Mosiah, the 2nd chapter, I'm going to read the 13th through the 17th verse. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And turn with me over, then go over to the 21st verse. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. Behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. Right in that expectation of no matter where we're at, right, no matter if we're David that's going up against that giant, no matter if we're Alma and Amulek, and going to face that battle and that challenge that they faced, whether it's Daniel in the lion's den or Gideon and facing the army of the Israelites, are we steadfast in that faith? Are we strengthened in the Lord? I want to close, and I want to turn to Mosiah, Moroni, the 10th chapter. And in my Book of Mormon, that's page 776. Towards the back of the Book of Mormon. And I want to read, and I want to start at the 13th verse. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And my hope is that we carry that with us today, that we know that these gifts, that we know these strengthening is what comes from Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore, there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair, and despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. And that is the verse. And I would encourage each of you. And I would encourage each of you to write down that verse. Whether you write it on the palm of your hand and you carry it with you, or whether you write it in your notebook where you take notes throughout the week, or you plug it into your cell phone and text it to yourself. But that 17th verse, and think about that verse as you carry on in your week and as we carry on in our lives. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Right? That David faced that challenge. Daniel and the lions did face that challenge. Gideon, Alma, the many stories. But those stories of ourselves in our own lives, right? That faith that we have. If we have faith, ye can do all things. And my hope and my prayer is that you carry that with you. My prayers are for you, and I would ask that you continue to remember us as well. Thank you.